You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome in. This is More Perfect Marketing. Why the heck did I start with German? That's because today I am speaking with Dimitri Vogel, who is joining me from, I think, are you in the city of Cologne in Germany?
Yes, directly.
Excellent. I have actually been to Cologne, or as Americans call it, Köln, right? Because it's strange. It's a city with two names. Right. I know it because of the very famous, and you think I'm going to say cathedral, which I've been in, by the way, but I know it from the very famous jazz pianist Keith. Keith Jarrett did this amazing concert back in the 1970s. I think he may have even recorded it at the cathedral. Wow. I'm not sure. And it's one of my favorite albums to listen to. When I just want to go off and contemplate. So if you don't know it, you should. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about LinkedIn. We're talking about the world of SaaS software as a service. And you and I met because I became a customer of a product that you developed and are shepherding through its early stages. Helping those of us who use LinkedIn as a marketing tool, as a connection tool, to get out there and put content into the world and make connections as a result of it. And so I want to dive into a conversation that has two components to it today. I want to talk a little bit about what it takes to get a SaaS business up and running, how you develop that early audience, the initial users, and then what sort of things you need to do to continue on that process. And then, of course, because we're talking about LinkedIn marketing, I'd like to dive into some of the tips and tricks and some of the specialties that your platform, which, by the way, I haven't mentioned yet, is called Content In, specializes in. So, Dimitri, why don't we start by talking a little bit about how you got into the world of SaaS to begin with, because as best I know, your background is actually in management consulting and sales in the automotive world.
Right. Yeah. It's a long story, but we have a bit of time right now. So don't worry. I'll keep it short. So I loved the consulting world. I love, you know, helping people, talking to people. I love selling. Not many salespeople say it about their job, but I loved it. But then I became a father like 4.5 years ago to our first daughter, and I had to rethink my whole career because I was basically away Monday through Friday. I only saw my wife on the weekend. If you ask me, that's actually the secret to our marriage. It lasted that long that we just saw each other on the weekends. But then our daughter was born, and I needed to reinvent myself, basically. And I asked myself, okay, what can you do? You can sell. And then I started selling, basically door-to-door selling, or the modern version of door-to-door selling via Zoom and other conference link of different products, mostly in the agency space. So I got to know some agency owners, marketing agency owners that sold packages of, you know, we had Facebook ads, coachings, content management systems, and, you know, between $4,000, $7,000, up to $20,000 of value. And I sold this, and I developed a talent for it. And this is how I started with, you know, marketing and sales in the digital marketing space. So, and then from that, I noticed that many leads came from LinkedIn. That's not a secret. Yeah. Anybody who's listening to this will say, duh. Yeah, it's like the B2B platform. But back then in 2019, almost no one did direct outreach on LinkedIn. So it was very rare that you get a message from somebody who wanted to sell you something. And I thought, wait a minute, I can do this at scale. And then I started Leadster Solutions, which is a lead gen agency focused on LinkedIn outreach. obviously it became much, much harder when LinkedIn in, I think it was 2021, reduced the amount of outbound messages you could send to 100 per week,
yep.
Which made it overnight very, very hard for us to, you know, to really reach the numbers we were used to, but we adapted. We had a much more personal approach then to the whole thing. And this was what sets us apart. And yeah, it became obvious then pretty soon that LinkedIn profiles from our clients who were posting content were basically much more successful. They had more leads. The leads were better qualified. The initial sales calls were much better. They had more closes. So I thought to myself, wait a minute, we need to get into this content game. Because up until then, I was like totally sales. I thought, hey, who needs content when I just can, you know, message 500 people a week? Yeah. But then, you know, I had to rethink, and it's a good thing I did, because from this, basically our whole content strategy is what became then, content in at this.
This lesson that you learned, I think, is an important lesson for businesses, to pay attention to, because there's a big difference between the psychology of somebody who is receiving a message, right, that is starting the relationship off with a, hi, I'd like to introduce myself. And they're very defensive, right? They're not necessarily eager to engage. But when they are instigating the outreach because they have seen you, whether it's on LinkedIn in their newsfeed, or they've, you know, seen your ad, you know, five times, or read an article about you in a magazine, and yeah, then they say, I want to know more. Right. The psychology of that prospective client is very, very different. So I think that there's something to be said for the content first approach. And content is nothing new. It's just where the content is appearing that's, you know, very different these days than it was historically. But this is, you know, 100 plus years of content that has existed to drive the beginning of those relationships. So good for you, a former sales guy, to recognize the opportunity to sort of change and reposition in starting that conversation.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so, having basically more or less no clue about, you know, how good content is structured, I started gathering information, and one major influence was and still is Justin Welsh, but also other people that you also had, I think, as guests on your podcast, like Dickie Bush and others. And I created a huge Google spreadsheet with lots of formulas and hooks, openers, calls to action, and all this awesome stuff that helped me create posts. And then I had a client whose name is Sebastian Kinslinger, who is now my co-founder, who basically said, Dimitri, see, I love your stuff. It helps me create posts much, much quicker, but I hate Excel, or he meant Google Sheets.
Yes.
Can I make this into an app? Do I have your permission? And I was like, yeah, let's try it. And this is how basically the first version of Content Inn started. We built an MVP that we then marketed to our, just to our personal networks on LinkedIn and some other pages, and people liked it. So they said, okay, it's still, you know, it's okay, I can create a post with it, I can post it, what else can it do? And then we asked, like, basically, okay, what else would you like it to do? And this is how we defined our first feature set. Basically, from the first, I think it was like 70 or 80 people who tried the first MVP, and we developed the second MVP. Then we got very lucky, because we got a bit of funding from the German government last year. Mm-hmm. And this helped us develop the first beta version that we then made open for free to the public, to basically gain the first signups. And this is how we get like the first, I think, 700-800 signups, just by word of mouth. We just put it on a couple of app sites, like there is an AI for that.com or some other pages, and this drove a lot of traffic to our landing page, which is very, very good converting. And
let's just pause for a moment there, because first, that's where I found you. I don't remember which platform it was, Future Tools, or there's an AI for that, or right. You know, one of these platforms. And in the SaaS world, a lot of users, early adopters, are finding tools like yours on places like the ones we mentioned were specific to AI tools, and yours is an AI powered tool, but there's also Product Hunt and other places where these things are being discovered. And actually that goes back to the comment I made before about content versus, you know, outreach on the part of the business. So getting some early adopters in, and I just looked back in my emails, January 10th of 2023 is when I signed up for your platform.
Cool. You're a user to first hour. I think it's about the time we went paid, actually, beginning of January.
All right. So I'm sorry, I cut you off in the middle of your story. But so now that you've sort of gotten users in and you've gotten some feedback about sort of the direction that you want to go. Where are you now, and where do you see things going?
Yeah, great question. So when I basically first heard from Sebastian about, you know, possible SaaS business, I was like, oh, great, a SaaS business. That'll print me money. We just create this app, put it out there, and the people will come. You know, little I knew, yeah. So actually, it's still a grind, and I'll be sharing real numbers here in short. But so I still have the impression that I need to convert each customer myself. And coming from a sales background with, you know, commissions in the high, 4-figure range, it feels kind of silly to talk to people to sell them like a $50 subscription per month, but it needs to be done, and it's hard work. And we are at last time I checked 176 paying customers, part of which are lifetime deals and a part of which are subscribers. So we are aiming to get our like first paying subscriptions at first 100 paying subscriptions until end of June, basically. And for this, we have created a plan, which we can also dive in later that day. But so for now, the signups are driven by pages like Future Tools, or there is an IF for that, or others, and some other initiatives that we started. And the focus is now on converting people to paying subscribers, which is basically done through delivering value. And for this, I need to be much more than just a sales guy. I'm in customer interviews all the time. I'm in the help chat a lot. But this is basically how we both like really talked for the first time, because I was trying to help you solve your problem in the help chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is where I learned the most. I learned what the problems are, what features people like, how can I, you know, what words can I use to sell the product in my next sales call, basically. Yeah. And this is, yeah,
I love the fact that an owner and a founder, you know, finds themselves in the chat. Obviously during the startup phase, it makes a ton of sense, but it's also a good reminder for somebody who's in business, maybe, you know, 5-10 years down the road, that you still want to be on the front line occasionally, just to be customer facing, to know what the experience is like. And, you know, things like just listening in on customer service call recordings to know what's being said and what the you know, what's transpiring. Those are really useful things. So things that you're doing today, hopefully you'll come back, you know, in 5 years when you have a booming, successful, you know, 10,000 subscribers, and you still want to know what are people wanting and needing from the platform. And the likelihood is LinkedIn is going to change in the next 5 years enough that you're going to have to learn and adapt to what people need at that point too.
True. And so maybe in 5 years, we will not even be on LinkedIn anymore, but rather on Twitter, or I don't know, the next best thing that's coming up. But content will always be at the center of it, like creating words for people to read and connect is the thing that I'm most proud of that we do.
I want to get over to the content piece of it in a couple minutes, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about something you shared with me before we hit record, and that's how you're deciding the next steps in your growth and your development. And you shared with me a really interesting process that you're going through to help you prioritize the different choices you have about building out this business. And I wonder if you can just sort of take a couple of minutes to describe how you had to think through the different ways that you could proceed in finding and acquiring new customers and the activities that you had to engage in, and then what you thought about in terms of prioritizing one over another.
Right. Great question. So basically, everybody knows there are lots of tips and tricks and resources out there, and everybody and their grandmother are telling you how to acquire new customers. There are about, I don't know, 107 ways. Actually, it's 107 ways that I have written down from all kinds of sources. But then the first question you ask yourself is, what do I do first? Because I'm the only sales person in our organization, so our resources are strictly limited. And I found a system which you said is from Intel. I probably read it in a book, and it's like a 6-step grading system. Each grade is from 1 to 6, where 1 is like bad and 6 is good. So a higher number is better. And the 6th question I ask myself regarding each initiative is, how quickly can I do it? How much will it cost me in money, not in time? How excited am I? Because I have to do it in the end. So if it's like the best measure in the world, but I dread it, it gets a low value. What is the chance of success? And how much will it help my immediate goal, and how much will it help my, you know, my longer term goal, which might be the same, but can be different for some initiatives. And then I have a value between basically 0 and 36. And this made it very, very easy for me to prioritize like the first 10 things on that list. And most of those are basically like very low time, very low money things that I can do quickly, that doesn't cost nothing. And that also helped us before, which were, you know, listing our app at certain directories like startups.fyi, tools for creators, resource, and other you need and other pages that exist there that list helpful tools.
Yeah, I love the tool, and I believe it's the Intel Strategic Prioritization Metrics is what it's called. I googled that while you were talking, and I'm not finding it, but I am finding, you know, a bunch of similar approaches to thinking through things strategically to be able to identify the things that are obviously going to get you where you want to go the fastest, and that's really what I think counts here.
I have it in a Google Sheet, so if any of your listeners want to have it, just reach out to me. I'll give it to you for free. No worries.
Excellent. Well, we'll make sure that not only do they know how to get your platform, but they also know how to get in touch with you. So, I think, you know, it's one of the challenges with any business, regardless of where you are in your development phase, is how do you weave through all of the different choices you have about what you should be spending your time on. And I love the fact that you've taken time to really weave through 107 different options and critically look at what they're going to allow you to accomplish and when. And of course, you know, weighing how much you have an interest in actually participating in that activity personally enters into it as well. So, I'd love to segue now over, if we can, to a little bit of what's in Content In and what it helps address for its users. Because I came because I was attracted by the unique selling proposition of planning out and generating my LinkedIn content. It's the platform I spend the most time on networking, and I needed help positioning myself as not necessarily a thought leader, but a contributor to the conversation around the topics I want to be known for. And your tool was very appealing to me because it helped me get there a lot faster. So can you talk a little bit about what it is, what it does, and what problem it solves?
Yeah, great question. Actually, before I do that, the most important thing is to know what your users want to achieve. And the best thing to get to know that is to ask them, basically. And this is what we did before even the first MVP, before the first line of code was written. We asked a question. We asked, regarding LinkedIn content, what are your most pressing concerns or issues? And the two things that came up was, I don't know what to write about. And even if I know what to write about, I have trouble writing a post in a, let's say, decent amount of time, because everybody can write a post in 2 hours or so, let's say. Yeah. But nobody has this time, because to be really, really present on LinkedIn, what we recommend is posting at least 4 to 5 times per week. So at least every weekday. So this is the running recommendation. Actually, I try to post every day because I have the tool to help me do that. But yeah, so the two most pressing concerns were, what do I write about and how do I write this so that people actually want to read it? And so this is what we created content in all around. We provide people with a content plan the second they finish the onboarding, which takes, I don't know, 2-3 minutes. Then you just click a button and you have a content plan proposal, which is of course always a draft. As with all AI tools out there, it's always to be seen as a draft and not like like the most shiny version, but it's great. It's it already helps. And then you have the what to write about and how to write. We have a system of a three-way approach to do it. First thing is, when I was writing LinkedIn posts before, I always made notes on my Apple Notes. So this meant I always had to pull up a different app between next to my LinkedIn window to see what I, you know, have noted down. And I wanted to change that with Contentin. So we have included like a very, very nice note section, like an idea section into the app. So you can actually use your phone to use it on the go and record notes and make pictures for use later in your writing session.
That's great. I haven't used that. I didn't know that was there. I'm going to add that to my my phone right now.
Yeah, you can. It's not on the App Store, but you can basically, if you go to Safari and say add to home screen, you have like it's called a PWA, Progressive Web App, which feels like a native app, but it's not a native
app.
So we don't have to go through Apple. Sorry, Apple. yeah. So this is the first thing. And the second way is we have templates, which we basically, we took inspiration from Justin Welsh, Dickie Bush, and all the great creators. I reverse engineered their posts into templates, which basically you can think of as text with blanks. So you fill in the blanks for your audience, for your niche, for your, you know, industry. And this lets you create content much, much faster. If this is still too much work for you, then we have an AI writer, which is getting better with every version of GPT that comes out. And of course, with the prompts that we have behind the scenes. So you have, basically, you can capture your own ideas, which I always recommend to split the ideation process from the writing process. You can use templates. If you have an idea, but you don't know what exactly to write and how to write it, you can use templates. And if you are really, really pressed for time and you want to have a post in like 30 seconds, just press the AI writer button and you will get a really, really good first draft of a post that you can then adjust to your needs.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to point out, is that, you know, AI doesn't necessarily know us as well as we know us, but it might help spark an idea. And as I teach a lot of people these days, right, AI is your intern. If you have it do the initial draft and then you serve as the editor, Obviously, it gets you where you want to go a lot faster. And I love the ability to start not from a blank page or what you have is a placeholder of the subject, right? My topics right. that I put in are growth, strategy, marketing analysis, networking, things like that, which are like the prompt that are just sitting there saying, this is the subject. And I say, no, I just want to write something, you know, and I'll click the write with AI. It'll ask me a question and poof, I'll have a starting point to then change right. what I want to say. And I love the ability to start a lot further down the path than from, you know, just the topic.
Yeah. And it really makes you measurably faster. You know, just if you don't trust me, just set an alarm clock and try to write 5 posts. I bet you won't need more than an hour for this. Yeah. And since the overarching theme of your podcast is strategy, the strategic thing to do now when you have the posts and you have posted them and scheduled them, which you of course can do with content in as well, is to analyze what works well for your audience. Are these entertaining posts, educational posts? So we have the post categorized, so you can see at one glance in the analytics section which posts get the most impressions, the most likes, the most comments, and you can basically repurpose this content with one click of a button as well.
I was one of the people who jumped on your beta. I think it's still in beta right now. The analyze. Yeah. Piece, but it is incredibly useful because I can sort by all of those things you mentioned, the impressions right. and the likes, yeah. and see very quickly where I'm getting traction. The one thing that it doesn't do, and no platform can easily do everything, is it doesn't tell me which one leads to a sale or which one leads outside of the conversation of the post. But that's coming. That we'll see that sort of sometime in the future. In some way.
You definitely will. It's actually on our roadmap because this is the one thing we asked ourselves. So what good are those likes actually? What good are those comments? So one of the next versions will have like a detailed overview of who liked your comments, who liked your posts and commented on them. So you can basically have like a small LinkedIn CRM inside the app and you can attribute your sales directly to those people and see how many posts they liked, how many posts they viewed, basically, and stuff like that.
I have to say that, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing on LinkedIn as a platform, and you mentioned Justin Welsh, you mentioned his reverse engineering some of his style, is that there's two kinds of users that I see who are really exceptionally good at posting. There are the user there's the post style that is really all about the business and focused 100% on business, whether it's talking about the industry, whether it's talking about how to accomplish something in business. And then there are what I think I would categorize, and maybe I'm not using the term entirely correctly here, but the creator posts where it is about a personal brand and there's a lot more personal storytelling. And that's the area where Justin and some of the other people who have been teaching this and doing this approach over the last couple of years really excel. And I think that's a challenging area. It's not a comfort zone for a lot of professionals, right? To mix the personal with the professional persona that they're trying to display on a platform like LinkedIn. So I'm curious what your advice is for somebody who is entering into this world, who wants to step up their content game, but they're seeing that that's kind of the what's working now and what they should do about it.
Well, I can speak for my posts, and what I'm seeing is that my audience likes entertaining and personal posts a lot. So concerning reach, so the biggest reach I always get when I post a picture of my kids or my wife or me actually reveal something about myself that people maybe didn't know. And sometimes it's scary. Sometimes, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I posted something about being overworked a little and how I cut down projects and initiatives to really stay focused now and, you know, keep my mental health in check. And this was scary. I thought, oh, man, this can be read by customers, actually. And what will they think? But in the end, it was a great post that I got a lot of, you know, nice comments, and nothing bad came from it after all. And yeah. So my advice would be, if you don't feel comfortable posting something, you're probably on the right track. Yeah, you should try it. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, keep your, you know, very, very personal life away. Yeah. People don't need to know about your illnesses or something like that. But if you had a breakthrough, or if you're struggling with something, write about it. Write a story about it. Use one of our templates. There are lots of story templates that you can use and adapt to your specific story. And then it's easy to tell, and it will be successful. Promise.
I would agree wholeheartedly with what you said. The more that you can get out of your comfort zone and actually share something personal, I think people are even more appreciative after the years that we went through between 2020 and 2022 in this world, in terms of really having an appreciation for ourselves and as individuals and the struggles that we all, you know, had in common during an international, you know, crisis, to recognize that, you know, it's okay to actually be a little bit more vulnerable publicly, because everybody is going through what you're going through.
That's right. And this will drive reach to be like, oh, business about this. These are the posts that will drive reach, that will drive comments and likes. And then, of course, you need to mix it up with some of your knowledge, some educational posts or challenging posts. And those will show people that, you know, that you reached before. Oh, this guy knows about, I don't know, marketing. I need a marketer right now, so I probably call him. This is how business is created.
And it goes back to a very common and perhaps predictable phrase when it comes to, you know, who do you do business with? People you know, like, and trust. And I think that this helps get what's maybe inside of us out onto the news feed in LinkedIn in a way that helps amplify that know, like, and trust that can help connect people that much faster. So, Dimitri, I want to keep chatting with you, but sadly, we're out of time. And so I want to make sure that people know where they can find the platform and find you probably in the chat once they get to the platform, at least for now. So why don't you let us know where somebody can go and try content in.
Right. So you can try the app for free. We have a free forever tier, which will always be there. It's on contentin.io. So it's like content and then in.io. And basically click on sign up, put in your email and password, and you're good to go. And you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, and in the live chat as soon as you're logged in.
Excellent. And we'll make sure to leave your LinkedIn profile in the show notes as well. David. Dimitri Fogel, thank you so very much for hanging out with me and putting up with some of my tough questions here. By the way, for those listeners who have been ringing their fist at the whatever listening device you're listening to, Keith Jarrett recorded the Köln concert not at the cathedral, but at the Opera House in Köln. So now I've corrected myself, and there you go. Anyway, Dimitri, thank you. This has been a treat, and I look forward to many more conversations with you in the future.
Thanks for having me, David.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to this episode, and I'm pretty sure you know a heck of a lot of people on LinkedIn, please share it with them. Until next time, this is More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.